Honourable members and Comrade Minister and Deputy Minister, thank you for coming. Thanks very much, Honourable members. The Congress of the People is around.
Which one?
Not the real Congress of the People. Yes.
Can I just say something?
Yes, the Congress of the People.
You know, I've taken a lot of flack for the last 6 months, but it's my time now. I see there's lots of fracturous factions, different ideologies coming through, Chairperson. Maybe you can explain that.
Can I come in, sir? You see, you can't compare the ANC with COPE. The ANC has been there since 1912. And all these things with that pandemic, if we go to the NDC, when you come out there, united and strong, and win the local government elected Amanda. You see, Mackenzie, don't take that risk. The African National Congress, as we go now, there is yet another historic moment of the ANC, of organizational renewal. From 1912, on strategy and tactics, on the ANC character that changed, determined by the circumstances on the ground. And there was a time in the leadership of the ANC, from the 30th, the 20th, and the 30th, where the organization was almost at the lowest. Then one of these bright leaders of the ANC wrote a questionnaire and said, "Is the ANC dead?" And that revived the ANC, and up until now, we're going to the centenary, Mackenzie, up to the challenge. So don't ever think that the newspapers and all things are telling you the right thing. Think of coming over to the ANC and build this non-racial, non-sexist, a-democratic. Nothing like the Constitution is under threat. We are the people who gave back to that constitution will defend it also. Now, let's not discuss politics here, Mackenzie. Let's not discuss politics here, please. I was just giving you a little bit of what it is. But again, you see, Mackenzie, when you look at Chief Albert Lithuli, Gumede, Mahabane, Plus, they were intellectuals of the note. And when you dress like this, you must watch one of the Sol Plus photo or one of the leader of the ANC who led the ANC as the president for 8 years, O.R. Tambo. And when you look at the photo there, you see, it doesn't look like somebody who just come from the dustbin. It looks like the president of the organization that is ready to govern. So please, I will give you a lot of these things and then you'll marvel when you talk about this gallant movement. So let us not talk about it today.
Which rally did you attend? That's the last week.
No, I didn't. I went to the General Council, the Provincial General Council.
Yes. You are fresh.
renewed.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Kumbis. Thank you very much. You see, this Mackenzie, every time and again, just run on our terrain. No, we must stop him from... No, he messes up. Opening up and then he comes in as a gentleman is fine. But as soon as he does any other thing there, we stop and say, no, Mackenzie, don't do that. Honourable members, thank you for coming. Comrades, you will recall, we must start quickly with the we'll adopt the minutes and other things thereafter, after we've released to Comrade Stoff. Comrades, you will recall that last week we met with the NA advisor and the speaker and all those things. One of the things that was leading up to meet was to check clearly how do we relate with SAFCOC, because we have called SAFCOC to come and give us information around their findings on the matter of Castor's Minya that was not handled properly, if you recall. And then O'Malley came here and then he gave us something that we're not expecting, what you call the forensic audit. Then he said, but according to the letter that we have from you, it's not a forensic audit. It's a letter that was talking about the Castor's Minya matter was not handled properly by Athletic South Africa, and therefore Athletic South Africa leadership was suspended on those bases. When we engaged with him, then he said, no, Chair, there are two committees. We are a committee that is just looking at the organization must run. But there is another committee that deals with the issue of the forensic audit and also the matter of Castor's Minya. Then you recall that we dropped that and say, then we're talking to a wrong person. Then we wrote a letter to ask SAFCOC to come and brief us on the matter of Castor's Minya that was said it was not handled properly. What are the findings of that matter? So SAFCOC wrote us a letter that says they will not come. I quote them correctly. They said that we will not come to Parliament because we have spoken to our minister, and then they closed the matter. Then the advice that I got is, no, let us call SAFCOC again and write them a second letter and explain to SAFCOC that SAFCOC, they are obliged to give us this information, and in failing, we will evoke Section 56 of the Constitution for them to force them to come and brief us on the Castor's Minya matter. And this morning, I received the letter from SAFCOC. The letter of SAFCOC reads this. The first letter, probably today is a little bit up to date. The first letter written to us on the 13th of August 2010 says, "Dear Mr. Gonzalez, thank you for your invitation dated 11th August. By direction of our president, Mr. Gideon Sem, please be advised that we will not attend the hearing as detailed by you. We are a non-governmental organization that works in close collaboration and cooperation with the Ministry of Sport and Recreation. To this end, SAFCOC have briefed our Minister of Sport, Reverend Stofile, on both issues that you have mentioned. Further, it should be noted that an inquiry and legal process is of a very sensitive and confidential nature and therefore has to be handled as such. Then it is on basis of this letter, by inference, they're saying they can't brief us. Why are we not asking to the minister? Because they've spoken to the minister. That is an inference that they're saying. Then we said no, but it's fine. Let's come and discuss with the minister. Maybe there's something that these people want to tell us, or the minister can guide us on those things. But what we are not going to do as this committee is to set a very serious precedent of any person saying, we will not come. And then he said, no, we call SAFCOC, and then we are also going to extend an invite to the minister. Those letters were two different letters, and their nature of content was different. Then we got a letter this morning, dated the 5th September 2010. Invite to the Portfolio Committee 7910. By direction of the Board of SAFCOC, please be advised that SAFCOC is unable to present itself to the Portfolio Committee as per your invite. We are able to discuss the issue of ASA as this letter is presently the subject of inquiry and we cannot divulge the initial investigation report, nor the forensic audit report. We trust you understand our predicament for our own protection as well as of that individual that are accused. Now, dear comrades and honourable members, it's not the matter of how secretly and how discreet is the matter that SASCOC is going to discuss with us. It is a matter of SASCOC respecting this institution. When they are here, SASCOC must say to us, Chair and the committee, can I ask for an adjournment? And then I will call the lawyer from Parliament to say, let's hear what are they saying, and the whip of the committee. And when it is a matter that really is a matter that doesn't need to discuss it here for it to go on the news this afternoon, we will be able to determine that. But SASCOC has no right to determine for us that the matter is so secretive that they decided not to come. Now, the letter that was sent to them was that if they don't come, then we request to Parliament that we evoke Section 56 and make SASCOC to come here. Before we discuss this information, probably that the SASCOC is insinuating that the minister might be heavy of theirs, who will have to decide on this matter. Yes, comrade. Mackenzie. Yes, Cora and then Tandy. Yes, Ms. Mackenzie.
Chairperson, this committee 2 weeks ago took a unanimous decision to re-invite SASCOC here and their president. And as I understand it, getting a letter this morning, there's now been a refusal on 2 occasions when requested in writing to attend a hearing here. I think that's not just arrogance. I think they're now crossing the line of the law of the country. That's my own personal view. I'd like to hear from the legal team in a moment. Secondly, Chairperson, I believe there's an attempt to create a divide between the Minister and the Deputy Minister on the one hand and this portfolio committee headed by yourself on the other side. Now, I think that's a very dangerous precedent to play one against the other, because it seems to me that they feel that they can give some selective information to the Minister, and yet this body is totally shunted out of the process. And I think that's a very serious problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKenzie. Donald Lee, Cora, and then it will be Candy. Yes, Mr. Lee?
Chairperson, I'm not so sure now whether, if they can't give us any information, can the minister give us information? You understand? Because they are saying that we must speak to the minister. Now, if they can't, then why can't the minister? Or can't the minister hear us?
No. The minister has come to indicate that he's willing to listen to us. What we're dealing with here is a simple principle that SASCOC cannot make us to set a precedent that they will not come. You see, that's the problem. After we've concluded that, would ask the minister, is there any other information that probably that he's having around SASCOC on this net? But we can't say if SASCOC doesn't come, and therefore the minister must be a messenger of SASCOC. It's wrong. We can't allow that. We must accept and deal with the matter of SASCOC as a principled matter that SASCOC cannot say it cannot come to this institution. Simple principle that we're addressing here. Not any other. Other things, we'll deal with them as soon as we finish with this matter. Cora?
Thank you, Chair. I think, Comrade Chair, you're absolutely right. The minister is not a messenger of SASCOC. When this committee calls SASCOC, SASCOC must come to this committee. Whether SASCOC has briefed the minister or not, the minister is not a spokesperson of SASCOC. The last time the decision which we took, Comrade Chair, was that letters re-invite Satkok, explain to them, maybe they don't understand the procedures of Parliament. And we hope that the letter which you sent off has explained that. Now, if I can take it from Mr. McKenzie, this is a clear sign of disrespect and arrogance. We need to see that the last decision which is taken, that if they don't come, then we invoke that 1366. That should be, I think in the last minute, that should be reflected, and that is what you say. Whether the minister is going to brief us, but he is not briefing us on behalf of SASCOC. He'll be doing his part, and then there's nothing wrong if they brief the minister, but when this committee calls them, they need to come and show that respect and respond to issues which this committee needs from them. Thank you.
Tandy, Cedric, you've been locked.
Thank you, and morning. firstly, number one, the elderly team will ask that SASCOC is really undermining the committee, number one. It's also breaking the act of Parliament that they're supposed to come and appear before the committee. And fortunately, the minister is here, but it's also undermining the minister as well. And I find it very convenient now for SASCOC to say they are an NGO suddenly. You know, and I just want to understand, what do they mean by that now, suddenly? You see, Chair, I don't want to go back. We've been raising this issue of SASCOC, number one. That means SASCOC is a governing body of South Africa, of sports. If they don't want to meet this committee, what do they want to say? I once raised this issue, and people thought I'm being personal. When I said SASCOC is really undermining us, and there's no SASCOC that will come here, you know. But it's very convenient because when there was a time when the president of SASCOC was here, because he wanted support from this group or this committee when they started the ASA issue. Secondly, Chair, I find it very also convenient for them. Now, suddenly, when you want to ask about the issue, they say the issue of ASA is a sensitive matter. Why have they been the ones who've been speaking on papers, who've been speaking on many avenues? But now, suddenly, it's convenient. Yes, again, it's called the Google Files, oh, in the Lelo Nyan. The same SASCOC. You see, the problem is why I'm saying this, Chairperson. There are many things that we've left also in the committee for SASCOC to just do as they want, as a board of as a governing institution. Like, number one, I was listening to the CEO, Tabi Reid, and I was even saying, how was he appointed when it was not even advertised? They start from there to do what they want. In the sports issues, Minister, what they are doing now, they are creating a tension between this committee and the minister to say that they are meeting the minister separately to come and brief us, you know. And I'm happy that the minister is here because we are going to speak a hearsay language here, you know. And as Honorable Lee, I agree with DA for the first time today. The minister must just brief us on what is happening, and also the legal team will also assist us where to take this. But this is also undermining South Africans as well, because South Africans are interested in what is happening. The CASTA issue was a very sensitive matter, but it was all over there. And they never said a word now suddenly sensitive, when they were never even vocal about that issue. But I check the actual Ghanaian.
Hey, Comrade Cedric, you're the last, and then I must conclude this matter.
Now, thank you, Chairperson. I'll be very brief. Chairperson, there's a precedent to this. You can remember SASCOC under the previous President, Mos Mashishi, also refused to come to Parliament to come and discuss certain issues with us. We cannot afford to rely on the media to convey issues, very intimate issues that has happened between SASCOC and Athletic South Africa, where you almost got the impression that they were doing the investigation through the media and also prosecuting people through the media. So they have an obligation to come, Chairperson. So we must not confuse the role of the minister and that of the Macro Federation with one another. The Macro Federation has a responsibility to come to Parliament, and we must simply implement now the decision that was taken at the previous meeting. I want to add, Chairperson, and conclude by saying that SASCOC as a Macro Federation is almost entirely dependent on government funding for their operations, and as such, we have a duty, a constitutional duty, to oversee their activities.
Thank you. Honourable members, Comrade Okora asked the type of a letter that was sent to SAFCOC, just in a minute, a request to attend the National Assembly Portfolio Committee on Sports and Recreation. The letter from SAFCOC under the signature of the Chief Executive Office, T. Reddy, dated 13 August, in which SAFCOC declined to attend the Portfolio Committee on Sports and Recreation, scheduled 24 August 2010, refers. I take cognizance of the reason that you express in the letter for declining to attend, but I wish to inform that the matter concerning the debacle around Athletics South Africa is of a public interest. The Portfolio Committee therefore once again urges SASOC to attend the Portfolio Committee meeting scheduled for the 7th September 2010 in Plain Street Room 2. Further, kindly please be informed that should SASOC decline this further invitation to appear before the Portfolio Committee, it will leave the Portfolio Committee with no other alternative but to evoke Section 56 of our Constitution. Section 56 of the Constitution, everybody knows, when it speaks of evidence information before the National Assembly. And when that Section 56 of the Constitution is read concurrently with Rule 138 of the National Assembly, of the general powers of the National Assembly, and therefore, SAFCOC has no way. But this is not the first SAFCOC that has been so divisive. There was a stage where rugby was saying, we've met with the minister. There was a stage where South African Football Association, under the leadership of Molefe Olifant, Kora, if you recall, they said that we have briefed the minister. We thought that when we briefed the minister, we have automatically briefed you. We said, no, minister is an executive member, and therefore you have an obligation to interact with the minister. But if Parliament, there is information that it wants to get from you, and then you just have to come as if you have not met with the minister. And this is where we are. But before we ask the minister probably to brief us of this very sensitive matter of Athletics South Africa, would ask Antia Sotha Dumasirilize to go back to Parliament. The committee last week made a resolution on advice of the NA table. They said maybe SAFCOC is not aware of the consequences. So we must write them a letter and humbly and begin to explain to them what are the issues at hand. And that decision now is coming back. We are evoking that decision. That SAFCOC has declined to come, but we are now, as a committee, taking a decision that from today we're issuing out summonses to SAFCOC and make SAFCOC to come to Parliament. Simple principle that SAFCOC must come to Parliament. If there is any other matter of sensitivity, Parliament has its modalities of handling such matters. And then I want you to give us guidance on this.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. I think listening to the issue around the table this morning, I would agree wholeheartedly with the sentiments expressed, particularly from a legal perspective. If, first and foremost, we look at Section 2 of the Constitution, it says the Constitution is supreme. That basically means that all of us in South Africa act with the Constitution as our umbrella. Everything we do needs to fit in under the Constitution. So Parliament has extended a cordial invitation to SASCOC to come and face the Sports Committee, which I believe, and we sat in consultation with Mr. Kampela, to indicate that let's be friendly about it. Let's ask for cooperation before going with the hard arm of the law. And that's essentially where the second letter came from, and our advice is to extend a further invitation to SASCOC from this committee so that we know that we've really gone beyond the 50% yard that we are required to do as Parliament. One of the matters that we also raised with Mr. Kampela is the fact that let's not forget where the National Assembly comes from. Our mandate is constitutional, and we're here to represent the people. So things within the public interest would fall within the jurisdiction of the Portfolio Committee as an extension of the National Assembly. in that respect, listening to the discussions this morning about Section 56 of the summons, I'm of the opinion that legally that would be within the correct line of moving forward by the committee. Two invitations went out to SASCOC, which they declined, and so Section 56, which is now a summons issue, comes into play. Obviously, the summons would have to be issued in terms of the of Section 14 of the Powers and Privileges Act, which follows on a resolution from this committee to the Speaker, who would then give the national instruction, would then give the necessary instruction to the Secretary, to Parliament, to carry out the process that goes into the summons. But I believe that what this committee needs to do is to actually pass the resolution so that the processes, the legislative processes, can kick in for the summons to be communicated to SASCOC.
Thank you, Antia. We will be in a position with PORI able to pass a proper resolution that is going to be extended when we conclude this committee. And then I think on the matter that we've requested an advice, and then we appreciate, thank you very much, and then we will be interacting with you on during the day for further details of dealing with this matter. Thank you very much, and we can release you. Thanks. Honourable members, I think we've closed that matter. Honourable Minister, it's a situation that this members felt that it's a very bad situation that we had to arrive at. But what was not right was for people by implication saying we have spoken to the minister and therefore this is not what is happening. But we have done that. One, on a demonstration to SASCOC that the minister understands exactly its role as the executive, and the minister understands the role of this portfolio committee. And therefore, we have humbly sent a letter to the minister and say, we would like to discuss with the minister this matter, but firstly, we wanted to discuss this matter in your presence so that you must get the background, where does this matter come from, and then what exactly has prompted us to arrive at that situation. But the honourable members are saying, and maybe the minister can brief us now as a colleague and also as the minister around, not on the forensic audit minister, because there's a huge confusion going on between SASCOC and what they say. They said that we want a forensic audit. The forensic audit is not a matter that has led to the suspension of Leonard Chuen. Leonard Chuen was suspended on the manner in which it has handled the Caster's Mania issue. And therefore, it was said, these are three. The letter of suspension from Gideon Sands has three. The suspended the president, the suspended the board, and suspended the official of that department. Because all of them had handled the issue of Caster's Mania inappropriately. That's what they are saying in their letter. Now, we said to them, now that you have investigated the desirability of how the matter was handled, can you give us information how this matter was handled? Now that the IWAF and Caster's Mania is back on the track, what were your findings around that matter? Now they're bringing it and conflating it with the forensic audit and all that, because he said that no, that is not what you wanted, because it is not in terms of reference that you have given to us. If you have done with the forensic audit, we don't know what informs you on the forensic audit. It is not our business. Our business is this one of the customers. And even now, with you, we don't want you to tell us the forensic audit, because we don't know about that. We have not been given the terms of reference of the forensic audit. We are only interested in saying, what have they said to you? Their findings on the Caster's Mania debacle, whether it was handled properly, and what was this thing that they find that the matter was not handled properly. That's all what we wanted from them.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all you latecomers.
Good morning.
First, let me say that Chairperson, Hart and I have no problem attending this meeting. In fact,
we had permission from the Deputy President to come here because we have a meeting going on right now, a joint subcommittee of cabinet meeting. Yeah, so we got out of there to give the briefing that you requested. Because our presence here is a result of your letter requesting us to come and do that briefing. Now, the media is here, and I want them to report very accurately. I do not want to see tomorrow an item which says the ministry was summoned to the portfolio committee. Because that would be a distortion of fact and sensationalism which seems to make a lot of news in this country these days. Uti hapa umakoti siyakezelwa hapa. Kunyansile siyakezelwa hapa. But utala sakezelwa mtonsika. So we're not strangers. But I really wanted to make that point, that we're not being summoned here. And indeed, your letter is very clear. It's not a summon, we are requesting a briefing, and we are more than willing to give a briefing. Because that is what we do all the time, people want to be briefed, including the media. If they want a briefing, we brief them. You know, the first thing we did here in 1994, noticing that there was confusion of relations between the media and this new governing party, we convened a workshop to define the rules of the game between ourselves and the media. How do they report on things? How do we brief them on issues? And build the trust, you know. When Winnie Mandela was going to be dropped from cabinet, I convened the media and said, look, this is what is going to happen, but you are not going to report on it until tomorrow. And they said, fine, and they did not break that word, because we had built a relationship. We defined the rules of engagement. That is why even now I am saying I still stand by the rules that we define. Speak nothing else but the truth. And don't spice it. The truth will go to the palate according to what it is. It doesn't need any spices. So I just repeat that, Mr. President. We have not been summoned here. We have been requested to give a briefing, and we are more than willing to give that. The second thing I wanted to talk to is Tabi Reddy or SASCOC's letter that they have spoken to the minister. It's correct. We speak to federations all the time. We even speak to individuals for that matter. That is what we're here for. We're here for the purpose of guiding South Africa on sports issues. This is our responsibility. And you don't do that by not talking. We talk to all of them, and they talk to us too. We'll all be convening a meeting with the Football Liaison Committee, which is trying to bridge the gap between the SAFA groups and the TFL groups, because this is our responsibility. Where there's a conflict, we come in and sort it out. Where there's problems, we come in. When utterances are made in the media, We speak to those who make the utterances and seek clarification so that we know exactly what they said and how we should respond to those things. So yes, they are correct. They did talk to us several times. I am not sure which talk they are talking about, because we've been talking about a number of issues several times. The third thing, the chairperson, it relates to the second one. It is correct what you're saying, and the members are saying here. We cannot be a spokesperson of SASCOC or anybody for that matter. We only speak for the government of South Africa. We cannot speak for the portfolio committee even. We refuse to be spokespersons for the portfolio committee because it has its own arrangement for that kind of communication and liaison. We speak about what we do, and we speak on behalf of government directions and policies, and we strictly align ourselves with that definition of our work. The honorable lawyer is gone now, and she would have articulated that that is what the Department of the State are supposed to do. They can't also talk about issues of parliament. We can't represent the speaker. The speaker has his own organs of communication. We can't represent the portfolio committees. They have their own organs of communication. This is what separates these powers. We can't speak about the judiciary. We can speak on the judiciary. If there are things we think we should comment on, of course we can do that. But we can't speak on their behalf.
When they say that we must not have a meeting today, we must have it tomorrow. We speak on the
of course, we will speak on the judiciary. They have no business to tell us not to have a meeting, when and when to have it or not to have it. We speak on those things. Because they are transgressing on our own turf now. So, yes, we're not here to speak for SASCOC or ASA. We are here to report on events that we have requested a briefing on. Now, the third point, the Jefferson, is the report itself. You see, this thing is is very woolly. It is, in fact, three different reports. I'm glad you don't want the forensic report, because that's a technical thing. It can be looked at, documents and all, the forensic thing. That is one aspect of it. What I think is very important for us here, are the other two, maybe one and a half. The first one is Caster Semenya and the IAAF, because that's where all these things started from in August last year.
That World War.
That Third World War, we should declare.
This committee is still on that Third World War.
We won all components of that war. Everything that we put on the table for the field marshals, we attained all those things and were certified. It was a worthy war. And I think that is one thing we need to talk about. The other thing, of course, it is the ASA investigation into how Leonard and his board executive managers handled that saga, and what findings they came to, and what actions they decided to take upon that. Those are the three issues. Now let me start there with Mukhadi Karasimanya. Colleagues, you will remember that the thing that pissed us off in August last year was the way a young South African child was being dragged in the mud of rumor mongering or mischief making, with totally disregard for her rights as a person, and indeed for the privacy of her life and its sexuality and gender related issues. That is what was driving us all crazy, because that was a rude invasion into the privacy of a young lady, and indeed a rude violation of her rights. And again, the lawyer would tell you about the human rights and the need to protect them and all those things. But invariably, that catapulted us into toe-to-toe with the IAAF to find out why did things happen the way they did. And we demanded that they apologize, and of course we demanded they recognize the caster and her achievements, her championship, her prize money, and all those things, and her right to compete. They raised the science issues of testosterone levels, that were giving her unfair competition over other girls. And we asked them, where is the ceiling? Which regulation of the IAAF or any sports federation which determines the levels of testosterone generation that constitute to unfair advantage in competition? Of course, there's nothing like that. They couldn't, they could not provide those things. And of course, we then demanded that the norms and standards be established in that respect. And they should not be established without the participation of South African scientists. Chairperson, it is common knowledge now that with respect to those science-related issues and personal issues of castes, gender, and testosterone level, that is water under the bridge. The IAAF agreed to appoint five scientists from the RN and five scientists from the South African from the South African scientist pool to deal with all that needed to be dealt with, to determine whether castor has an unfair advantage, to determine whether the testosterone level translates into extra energy and all those things. They looked at all those things. But we insisted they also look at the long-term implications to the child. If she needed to do anything, we needed to be sure that it would not jeopardize her life going forward. Now, obviously, I cannot divulge what detailed treatment they meted out. But at the end of it, they all agreed that the Castor Semenya is now ready to run again. She has not cheated, and she is not cheating, and she has no unfair advantage to other girls, and as such, she must run as a girl. Now we have seen her win 3 gold medals in the last month already. And that is how we close that chapter. Of course, we had appointed lawyers pro bono to look after castors' interests, whether they are health interests or human rights interests or family interests, because castor comes from a very rural area in Limpopo. And her parents did not understand this big alu-balu about their child. And so we needed to protect all of them from the hangams who wanted to make money out of this pain. Not just South Africans, even international entities wanted to make money out of castor. And we told Ntombam, you are a milk cow now. That is why we need to protect you, because everybody is going to milk you dry and run away with the profit you'll be left. But I'm saying all those things, when the IAAF lifted the ban on her running, were put aside. We said to the lawyers, thank you very much. Your terms of reference are now terminated. Of course, if a caster or her manager's family would prefer you to continue, that will be a private a transaction between the athlete and the lawyer of a choice. That is how we dealt with that. I can tell you, Chairperson and the portfolio committee, this has set a new benchmark for the world, not only athletics, but for the sporting world in general, because we now have benchmarked the levels beyond which the testosterone levels cannot be tolerated for fair competition within a gender group. And this is important because there is no girl who would want to run against another athlete who is not a girl. It would be an unfair competition. It would be an undesirable and unacceptable. But the scientists have now laid the benchmark for the world to see what constitutes fairness and gender equity in sport. It also has introduced a new dimension, Chairperson. As a result, we have now been asked to come to Mexico to a policy development conference on this issue, because it has introduced what we've always said, at least on the African continent, that governments and international federations cannot work in silos. They must cooperate on these things, because on the African continent, nobody would be involved in sport if it were not for the money that the parliament votes and we distribute to assist these athletes to participate. It is so throughout the African continent. It is so in other countries as well, we've discovered in Asia, in Eastern Europe, in Australasia. Those elements do exist where a policy development has become necessary to guide the relationship between international federations and the governments. FIFA has already adopted a resolution in their conference in 2007, and we're trying to make a follow-up on that, because we're saying this thing of shut up, this is soccer, and we're in charge, it doesn't work like that. If people embezzle the money we allocate to them, we have a right to put them in jail. If people embezzle the resources we put in their hands, we have a right to intervene. And they said, then that is fine. We must set up a task team, a committee, which regulates those relationships. That will be taken up in Mexico. The IOC has also taken a similar view, that the government and the IOC must set up a regulatory framework which manages this. And the IWF said South Africa has introduced a new dimension to these relationships, which they think, the IWF thinks, must be spread to the rest of the world, depending on their development levels, of course, and their contribution to the development of sport. So we have made what I thought was a very good contribution under very difficult circumstances, because the BBC was on our back all the time, the Australian media, the German media, everybody wanted us to get excited and say something that we would regret. But I think we stuck to our guns, and we are pleased that Semenya is back on track and she is continuing to win a gold medal. I think that is the Caster Semenya thing, Chairperson. I cannot go into the nitty-gritties and details of the scientific operation that they carried out. Now, that then must bring me to the next issue. The sequel to what had appeared in the news in August 2009 with respect to this golden girl. Now, it is common knowledge that we wrote a letter to the IWF demanding an explanation. This step was the spokesperson, is it Dixon or Davis? Because he was quoted as making this statement, and we asked the IWF to confirm whether what Nick Davis was saying was a representative view of the IWF or not. Because if he was speaking on their behalf, we demanded an apology at the way they dealt with this thing. Now, they wanted to come here and see the president of IWF, wanted to come and talk to President Zuma. We advised the president that he should not meet the Tiak or any sport luminary on these contentious issues. The president must allow the ministry to dirty our fingers. And then he must come at the end when things are clear to what are they trying to achieve, which direction they are moving, and so on. The president agreed, and so we dealt with that thing from the ministry. We placed all our demands on paper. First, we said, you can't deny Caster of a championship because you cannot prove that she competed in bad faith, she was cheating. So she must be declared the champion of the world for 800 meters death. After a long debate on those issues with the executive of the IWF, they finally agreed as a board that yes, he will be accredited with the title of 800 meters champion of the world. And that if she is accredited, then of course she must get her money. They agreed that she is entitled. Theory, yes. They agreed she will receive her prize money. We then demanded that they should apologize for undermining human rights. They said, we can't apologize for that. It is not us who started this thing. We responded to South Africa's own way of dealing with this thing. And then I'll come back to that, to what they meant with that. Of course, they produced all the documents they could. And the fifth thing that we asked them to do, of course, was the science process. And of course, they complied with that 100%. Now, the question then was, who deals with this thing? The affiliate of the IWF is ASA, but the Olympic Committee for South Africa is SASCOC. Now, who between them must deal with this thing? I said, no, that you can leave to us, because we will regulate that in terms of the National Sports and Recreation Act. It determines how those things are resolved. And so ASA then started their own process of investigation. But the process of investigation, Chairperson, did not start at that time. It started later, in September, as a matter of fact. I remember I was in a World Anti-Doping meeting in Montreal when Leonard was announcing that he had lied to all of us. I got a shock of my life because I had met him the previous night before I left South Africa. My last meeting that day was with Leonard, the uncle of Semenya, and her father, and of course with the interpreter, because the father did not speak anything but Venda. And we went through the whole thing again to say what had happened. So you can imagine my shock. The following day when I saw Leonard on TV. And of course, that had its own consequences. Then there was the march and the confirmation and the support. The board of ASA said we endorse what Leonard has done in handling this matter, and we stand by him. Others organized a council meeting, I think a few days later, and made all these allegations that this man has mishandled this thing, he has dragged the sport into disrepute, and so on. And by the way, these people are also embezzling the funds of the organization. Now, that is where the forensic report comes from. It comes from those allegations. So we can follow that when it is worthy following. But with respect to the ASA, when those complaints arose within their ranks, led by the Poland delegation and supported by other delegations, we then said the first point of appeal is SASCOC, says the law. When there is a dispute within a federation, the first arbiter is SASCOC, and they went to SASCOC. And SASCOC then appointed, what do they call it, a law commission. It's a structure of their own. It's a legal commission. Yes. They asked them to investigate all these allegations. Did the 20 missile of the Semenya issue, was the testing of the lady done within the ethics of how this thing should be done? Did the IWAF originate the test? And if they did they have jurisdiction? If they had jurisdiction, did the AFA or SASCOC have had intervening power? All that the chairperson is here. It is this thing. It's a report of that investigation. It's not very short. It's about 30 pages. But all in all, they said that in our view, that is the legal commission. We think Mr. Tweni defied all legal and medical advice on the 17th of August in Berlin, which advised him that in terms of the IWAF rules and in terms of the AFA rules, Caster Semenya should be withdrawn from the race until the issues that were being raised around her were sorted out. Because they were being raised by other athletes, and the constitution of the IWAF says athletes have a right to raise issues, and if that happens, then the IWAF must do a proper test and verify those things. They had advised that this lady should not run because it's going to create a psychological problem for her to run and be queried. They accused him of having intimidated his team. I think it's a Miss Lane or something, who was frantically sending emails and SMSs to ask Leonard to not proceed with killing this lady, in line with the advice that they had taken within the ASA. But of course, she did not manage to convince her. Dr. Adam, Adams, eh? Harold Adams. Dr. Adams is the accredited ASA doctor, and he has been with us for many years. He also serves on the IWAF Committee on Health and Medicine. They argue here that Dr. Adams was the first advisor in statutory terms to the president of ASA on these issues. And the advice that he gave was that Semenya must be withdrawn. And again, they say they found that Mr. Tweni ignored that professional advice and went ahead with that. And as such, they accuse him of being guilty of gross misconduct, as well as bringing AFA and the sport of athletics and SASCOC into disrepute. And he must face disciplinary hearing. Then, of course, with regard to the board, they also find that the board was just as guilty because of their vote of confidence on Mr. Tweni. And that board must be suspended, they recommended. And, of course, last but not least, that whatever is done with the manager must be done within the labor laws of the country. They must be suspended with pay. Now, that is how ASA dealt with the matter. Dealt with it through the legal commission and put it through to SASCOC for further investigation. And SASCOC then decided to proceed with prosecution. Now, there are various number of allegations here, Chairperson. For instance, at one level, they are accused of mismanaging the assets of SASCOC, of ASA. with respect to payment to individuals, to per diems, allowances, tax evasion, non-compliance with the Act of 1973, Companies Act, non-compliance with all those things. So those are the things I suppose they say are sensitive, because they must be tested in court or tested wherever the arbitration must take place. But the findings, I don't think the findings are secret, because the findings are in black and white, and they say what I'm saying. What needs to be done now is for the due process to take place and those things to be tested in court. That is the situation as we know it, Chairperson. This report we received about two weeks ago, I've read through it. The other bulk of it is the forensic report. I've also read through that. So, by and large, that is a story about Athletics South Africa, about Sasquatch, about Caster Semenya.
Kumbi, Donald and Cora and Kenzie Suga. You're the last when I'm done with you. Stay with you. Donald, it's you.
Your thing doesn't work.
Chairperson, yes. You know, just a few things, Chairperson. First of all, you know, I have my views on how the Caster Semenya issue was handled, and it's a well-known, it's a world-known view. And I still hold that view. But you see, just now, Mr. Chairperson, you said that Caster Semenya is really the issue that, you know, why we really want to see Sasquatch. But if you look at this morning's, the committee meeting of this morning, Chairperson, let me just read to you what it says. It says, talks about the National Assembly and meeting Sasquatch on the outcome of the forensic audit report into alleged financial mismanagement at Athletics South Africa. In other words, the reason for us being here, as far as I'm concerned, is to discuss that, Chairperson. I have no problem listening to the other things, but I think the person or who is responsible for the agenda item, Chairperson. I don't know who it is. That person either, you know, understood the reason for us being here wrongly, or but that is the reason that is put on this order paper. Understand? And therefore, I think we must be careful then when dealing with Sasquatch. If you tell them, listen, we only want to talk about this, you understand? Then we must be careful what we put on an agenda. Because we must read what is on this agenda, Chairperson. Because that is why I'm here. I'm here to listen to the forensic audit report. Now, Chairperson, perhaps you understood me wrongly this morning, because you sort of brushed me aside. I don't repeat things, Chairperson. You know what I said, not last week, the week before last. Last week we had the Women's Parliament or Women here, and we had to be on the back burner again. You know exactly what I said, Chairperson. And I still stand by that. That Sasquatch must come and report. You know, there is no question as far as I'm concerned. And the only thing that was puzzling. If they can't talk about the thing, why can't the minister? You understand? And the other important thing, Chairperson, you know what is happening in South Africa today. People don't want to have secretive things. They want to be in. The police they want to be in on things. You understand, Chairperson? And therefore, I have no qualms about having open meetings and discussing things openly, Chairperson, as long as it is the truth. I don't want lies to be said, Chairperson. You understand? And that is, you know, and therefore the press also, they have a role to play. And making sure that
the truth goes out, do you understand? And the real story. No, you see, Donald, here we must deal with correct things. If we started with wrong things in this committee, then this parliament will go with wrong things. You see, it's wrong for us to say, if SASCO cannot talk about this matter, therefore, the minister must talk about it. It's wrong politics. You understand? We must call the minister on our own accord. It must not be a question of blackmail. Then we are on the back of the world, and therefore, we're making minister a depository for federation. That's the principle that we're talking about. I say, minister is not the messenger of SASCO. Yes, that's what I was trying to emphasize this morning. And we're still standing on that. If the minister interacts with all federations of this world, it's fine. But if you want to interact with any of them, they must not say, we have interacted with the minister, therefore, go to him and get information. That's the kind of principle that I think is wrong. We can't subscribe to that principle. That's the only thing. And maybe I've gone quickly to you, but that was the thing. But all of us last week agreed that we will never set a precedent of anybody in this country to snap this committee and say, I will not come. The only difference that we have with SASCO now is their arrogance that says, we will not come. Now we want to say, okay, fine, if you will not come. But we'll see at the end of the day who's going to be the winner and the loser on this matter. And then the committee agrees that, okay, but I have taken that initiative. The ANC said, no, let's take initiatives in the meantime and check whether the extent of the sensitivity of this matter, and then the minister must share it with us. And there's nothing sensitive in what the minister shared with us. Nothing. You see, Donald. But the question of that program there. You see, I'm sure the people who are doing the order paper took from the letter that Gideon Sem sent to us that they will not come and present the forensic audit, but check consistently. Previous request that was sent to them is that they must come and explain to us the issue of the debacle of Caster's name. And if there is a forensic audit, they could have moved in the transition, just like what the minister has done, and say, we have dealt with the issue of Caster's name. And in the meantime, or in the long run, these are the issues that has led to us going to the forensic audit. But it must not be overnight. People go and say, we can't get him on the issue of Caster Semenya. Therefore, let us check the administration of the institution. If that is wrong. But if Gideon Sem and his people could have put it in this transition, all of us would understand what the politics led to that kind of a forensic audit. But not what they're telling us that should be the case. So I'm sure the capturing of that, there's nothing wrong. They've captured it on basis of saying, we can't come and present the forensic audit. Their issue is the forensic audit, but our issue is that what led to the forensic audit is the debacle of Caster Semenya. And up until today, nobody has ever explained to us what happened to Caster Semenya to date, except this report that we got from the minister. And minister has no obligation, except when we require so, to give us that information. People who have an obligation are the ones that are dealing with that question of investigation, which is SASCO. Comrade Desuka? It's Mackenzie. Then it's Cora. When I saw Cora, I was going to meet the
Yes,
Mackenzie.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think we've got to be very clear. There was no confusion as to why we wanted to have this meeting with SASCO. The meeting was to discuss the Caster Semenya issue. Now, I think we've got to be consistent. So I hear what Donald's saying, but I think the intention always that I understood is that's what we're going to deal with. The fact that there's a subsidiary issue called a forensic audit is a different matter coming out of allegations. I'd like to ask the minister in this case. He's given us a report on the regarding this legal committee that investigated Leonard Chuene's behavior regarding Caster Semenya. The report that he's given us verbally today, excluding the scientific issues, is that report of a nature that it's so sensitive that SASCO couldn't have produced it here or presented it here? I want to know that. Because I think that is a key issue. There are, the minister rightly said, there are some sensitive issues that he doesn't want to share, but the rest of the stuff, the findings, he said himself he was shocked at the statement he saw on TV. Surely those could have been presented by Cisco. I don't think we should be hiding behind issues of secrecy and confidentiality in some sections of it. The second thing I want to know is, now that the IAAF and everyone else has agreed that this young lady can now participate again, is she going to be compensated for her lack of participation on the track? Who is going to look after her well-being financially? And is she going to be compensated for the damage that's to her reputation and her persona as a person? Have those issues been covered by the IAAF? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I want to thank the minister for this report, which I find nothing sensitive in it. The other part has been covered by Honorable McKenzie, the issue of the compensation of not participating. But this thing is clear, that this is just an arrogance of SASCOC. With the report given here by the Honorable Minister, there's nothing sensitive, it's clear it's arrogance. And I also want to say that it is clear from the report of the Minister that all these people who were advising Chwene to withdraw this girl from participating, that advice was absolutely wrong. Because if she was withdrawn, we would not today have a world champion of 800 meters. So that advice was completely wrong. And I'll say that this vindicates President Chwene, and it indicates that his decision was 100% correct to allow her to participate. Because who would now, if he had withdrawn her, should really have missed out and should not have been the champion today. But I think the questions, the engagement, one can have the engagement with the minister. There are issues which one wants to engage, but it needs ASA and SASCOC. Yeah, because it will be unfair for us to want to engage the minister on issues. This was just a report that.
Suka?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let I also appreciate the report, the briefing that was given by the minister to the committee. At least it demystifies the myths that were there in our minds, because we did not know what led to certain issues. But surely some issues will raise them at an appropriate time. The second issue, you see, I also appreciate the South African government, led by the Sports Department, in moving beyond the saga, because we have turned the issue of the negativity into our advantage in leading into it. Yes, and also formulating some policies around this matter for the future, because surely Kasai is not the first person to find herself in this predicament. There are other countries. Unfortunately, they were not so bold and fight vigorously to have a policy in place. No wonder we are invited to Mexico in terms of the report by the minister. Secondly, because I also wanted to balance this, the wrongness of Chwene in relation to the running of CASTA at this point in time. I need to strike the balance because at one level they were wrong,
But on the other hand, we found an advantage that the girl is running today. So maybe out of these reports of the investigation, we would want to lay my hands and eyes so that we balance this, whether who was right or wrong. But surely they are not losers or winners. We are all winners in this game, as I could listen very attentively. My little question, surely it will border on what Honourable Member McKenzie around the compensation. I would want to check from the department what program is there to profile Ukasta as a gold medalist in South Africa. Remember, the papers, both locally, nationally, internationally, were running with the story negatively. And surely the little girl had to suffer because of her win. Now that she has been cleared, is there a clear program that will run throughout the country to profile the lady so that we bring back her dignity as it has been violated? Remember when Zola Vat won during the apartheid era and all that, you know, there was a clear program up to even motor industries or companies, this thing of the Zola Vat combis, profiling her as the darling of the moment in the height of our revolution. Now, in our democracy, here's a lady who has made history, and we need to celebrate that victory of hers. Is there a clear program to profile her? I might not know the dynamics of the Zola part, but surely it was embraced. Any interaction with the cultural groups so that if there is a need to have songs and to bring back that dignity. And even the press, so that we have the journalists and everybody else to assist in bringing back her dignity so that she can be confident as a proud South African who is representing the country. Is there a kind of that program, Chairperson? Otherwise, other issues, I will raise them at a later time. Thank you.
Thank you. You are the last, Sandy.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister, for the report that you've just the brief. You see, I want another approach. The brief is correct. We've received it, and we are happy. But Chair, as this committee, we've agreed about the issue of the act that will take us forward. I'm very worried because why I'm saying this. We say we must not set a precedent of people undermining us. I want us to take a decision here, despite the legal part of the decision. Number one, you see, when we speak about generational mix, people have been questioning what is that. We are voting for them. When you have antiques in a federation who do what they want, then we're speaking about Sascock, and I say it apologetically. You've got the same people over and over and over again. That's why they're doing this, because they think we are their friends when it comes to work. Minister, in one meeting where I was with you when I raised this issue, I was attacked by one board member to say, how can you say that? I said it's because you've been there, you are missing out, you must go out. You know, I want people to be very specific, because on other federations will think we are selective. We summon them to come here, whether they like it or not. We say, SAFA, we want to hear. Give us all the report. Why not about Sascock? I'm a bit worried about this thing, because we've got the same. Fortunately for me, maybe I've been there, that's why I know what is happening in there. When you speak about the transformation of sport, we're not only speaking about federations only. Transformation is from the top, Honorable Chairperson. And we've been silent about these issues. That's why these people, they just do what they want. They'll say, we know how to handle Compel. And it must come to an end. Minister, I appreciate what you've said, that everyone talks to you and every federation talks to you. Even with us, the same thing is happening. They talk to us. But when there is someone to come to this committee, they come. The interim board of Sascock of what? ASA was here not long ago. Someone by this committee to come to us. Partly the same report that you are giving us. They were saying there are even more further charges on Chwen, if people would record, because of the information that is missing, deleted files, if people remember that.
Yeah.
My problem is that, Minister, fortunately you're here, and Honorable Business, these reports, we get them from media. SASCOC runs through the media like nobody's business. They respond. What is the problem in coming to brief the portfolio of the committee so that it can be passed? But they say they're an NGO, but when they want money from government or when it's time for us to do appropriations, they run to us to the same portfolio committee that they are undermining. What does it tell you? You know? So I want us to look at that. I'm very happy with the brief that we've received, but I want us to take this forward. You know, as a young person, I think very quickly. I don't think behind, you know. Because if we don't act on SASCOC, I'm telling you, other federations will do the same. SAFA will say, no, we can't come and report it. ASA will say, we won't come. Boxing will say, no, we're not going to come because if you can't handle SASCOC, what about us? And it's funny because on the same SASCOC in the general council that they have had over the weekend, they said federations must not run to them when they have challenges. If people don't. So now it's a contradictory statement. Or not yet we. That's what they said over the weekend. I was listening and then I said, now, which is which now? They are playing a game and I'm not sure which game are they playing. You see, I always say it took a lot for sports to transform in this country. For SASCOC to be a board where it is, it's because we were transforming sports in the country. And they couldn't do it without this government, without this parliament, without the people. And they're undermining the people of South Africa. The moment you undermine Section 2 of the Constitution, undermining the Constitution, you're undermining the people of this country. Because sports is part of the national interest of the country. I mean, I want this committee to just take a quick decision. And Minister, I'm happy that you are here because you have clarified yourself. Because those who write would have written something else. That SASCOC speaks to the minister. Then the minister undermines the portfolio committee. I think I'm done. Thank you.
No. Let us just set the record straight. We have taken a decision here. And that resolution, immediately when we leave here, goes to the Speaker of the National Assembly. We have taken a clear resolution in summoning SASCOC here. And we're sober. And the process is that if SASCOC do not come on the summonses, then that triggers warrant for arrest. So it's processes, comrade. Don't hurry. And then we have to deal with this matter in a proper procedure, in a proper context, so that finally we must have the outcome that respects this institution. So let us not say, why are we not taking any action against SASCOC and all that? We are taking that SASCOC as a decision. We have agreed with you now that we must issue out a resolution, and that resolution triggered summonses. And then the process is that when summonses have been set, and then you ignore or you defy the summonses, then it triggers a warrant for arrest for contempt. So it's a process. It's not just something that we are going to, but we are going to. When we move to Bale, it's posh. It's posh.
Not Charlie is thinking too fast, you know.
Yeah.
Charlie's brain is there.
Okay.
The mouth is this side.
Charlie can just say one or two of those things that they want to do. You know, Jefferson, the grill. You must respect the chair. Jefferson, Mr. McKenzie is raising the question of sensitivity, which Cora has already responded to. That is, there is nothing sensitive about this report. But I must hasten to say that the test is a subjective one. If you taste my coffee, which I think is nice, you might think it's too sweet or too bitter. So the question whether it is a sensitive report or not is really a subjective issue. From my perspective, there's nothing really sensitive here. It is issues that were uncovered by the law commission or whatever it is called, and now they must be put for verification
and answering out the alteram patrem. The other party must respond to the allegations. Otherwise, you will be guilty of the miscarriage of justice if you find people guilty without going through the due process. The second thing they raise with Suka is the question of the compensation for loss of income and injury to the persona and so on. Now those are private law issues, the lady will tell you. They cannot be instituted by an institution. They must be instituted by the person on whose body the injury has been inflicted or who has lost the income. But you must also not forget that our constitution has something to say about voluntary associations. Now, all athletes join AFA voluntarily and subscribe to the constitution of that organization and invariably join the IWAF and subscribe to its constitution. So there are all those mitigating things which the lawyers will have to deal with should they arise. CASTA has absolute right within her own persona to institute those actions. If she so wishes, she can institute. If she thinks that she was injured personally, she must do an injurious case to her lawyers. We can't do that on her behalf because we will lose in court. The question is, how do you know if she is suffering? How do you know this? Now, the other questions that are raised are the profiling of this gold medalist. You know, I've been with CASTA to Mangaung, I've been with to Polokwane, Rustenburg, and the Dalstrom in Mpumalanga, trying to do just that. We tried to titivate it to say that she will be conducting running workshops, what are those things, coaching clinics. It didn't work, you see. Because every time she gets to a place, she's mocked by everybody. From the young primary school kids to Bakakuti, the grandmas, all of them want to talk with her. So the intended clinic does not take place. But the profiling aspect, I think, has been very, very good. And the media was always there, and they gave good coverage. Unfortunately, sport is not properly covered in this country. Unfortunately. Perhaps that is one thing the portfolio committee, together with communications, must want to look at. Whether we should not have a dedicated sport channel in this country so that these things are properly profiled. Yesterday, we launched the Makayantini Boxing Academy. There was nobody there. And I'm sure South Africa does not even know we are launching such a very important thing. Of course. Even the August 9 women's games, there was nobody there. It's unfortunate. But I'm just saying, Chairperson, profiling, yes, we're doing our bit on that. As a matter of fact, after these Commonwealth Games, I thought we would do it before. We had agreed with CASTA and Mkwena, the long jumper, the Lukhoto, that we will do a cross-country marketing program. They doing the motivational speeches, you see, because it does not help for me to talk about Daniel McTing, Utande has never heard of McTing, Lopenfall, Humphrey Hoss, they will not know those things. So it's better to take the known icons who can easily be identified. Take them there, let them speak for themselves, and then perhaps you can say one thing or two to add on that. Generational mix. This is very important. You see, it comes from sport, actually. Have you looked at the relay race? Look at the relay race. That's a generational mix. This generation hands over to this one, and they hand over to It is a very important thing. And we are trying to promulgate a legislation. We are very cautious about it. Because we see the president of South Africa cannot serve more than 2 terms. That makes sure there's change. But the president of any federation can go on forever. What's his name of CAF now? Issa Hayatou, he's been there for 29 years. And he's standing for the next election. So you have to find a way to regulate those things. And I think for all federations, we need to say, I don't think we can say 2 terms. In sport, that is very short. I think 3 terms might be reasonable. But I am lobbying different federations in this direction so that when the law comes, there is less resistance. It is important also to bring in a younger generation. I know this is a youth league position nowadays, which we support, as a matter of fact, because if they cannot learn whilst we are there, they are likely to hijack the cut over the cliffs and mess it up, because the youth is youth, energetic, full of creativity and adventurism. So there must be that thing. Now, we must also introduce...
But the race is too long.
I know.
The race might be there. The race is too long.
The race is very long. Yeah. Sprinters don't survive in that race. I've seen many sprinters try to run that race. And I've seen them by the wayside as we jog around. But I'm saying those are the regulatory issues we want to introduce. The terms of office as well as the mix in gender and age, because that is a very, very critical issue. Short of that, of course, you can't proceed. But colleagues, I really want to raise this again. I raised it last year, that sport is a big ocean full of white sharks. Not just soccer. All sports, I'm telling you, all federations, they are just, it's a danger zone out there. And people don't seem to understand that. And the sport in the 21st century wields a lot of money, a lot of resources. And we all need to be very wary of getting into anybody's pocket. Very dangerous. See, because once you are co-opted and assimilated, you can't adjudicate. That's why I don't have friends. None of them are my friends. Because I
thought I was
a friend. But you're not the sports administrator. The sports administrators keep them at a very safe range. I am telling you, I've been doing this for over 40 years now. And I can tell you, the terrain is far more complicated than it was in the 1960s. That's all I want to say, Chairperson.
No, thank you, Chair. I think comrades would attest that I don't put it as nice as the priest. You see, Minister is Mfundisi.
I'm not a priest, I'm
the minister of the Presbyterian Church. I don't put it like the minister. Minister, I always say to this comrades, all of them, in sports, a dog is a dog. They will eat you, and then from there, you will never stand up and say no to them. Because you are now serving on their own terms and their mercy. That's the kind of a business in which we find ourselves in. One day, when you hear that Consela has gone underground, he's silent. Check whether there's no briefcase there. Then you must know that he's got a briefcase, and then it's closing his mouth. Now, I can't say anything. Now, Minister, there are these things that I want you to go here, having them in our mind. This committee is not opposed in any international body or anybody interacting with the president and yourself. But what this committee has a problem with is the international federation presidents acquaint themselves with the president of the country. That's where we have a problem. And we don't want to say, no, who's supposed to speak to you at what time? But the tendency is that this Dieka of the IWF, yes, said, I want to speak to the president. And we took exception in this committee. If he was saying, I want to talk to the Minister of Sport about the Caster Semenya debacle, then I said, he's talking to a relevant person because he's going to brief the president about that. But he can't just come and take a jet and land here and say, I want to talk to the president. I don't say the president must not talk to any person, but anybody must not equate to him with the president. Whether you are a president of FIFA or the president of the IWAF, we have the president of the country, not of a federation. And it must remain as such. And wherever you are in the corner, you must know that we're taking very painful view on what is happening, because it can't be right. It's not right.
You know, what you are saying is very important. But believe me, it is not the fault of the president. It is our fault. You know, there is something called management by connections. You get hurt, is close to me, he manipulates me to meeting people I did not intend to meet. That is a problem. Our leaders must be protected from this thing. They are victims of this management by connections thing. They endear themselves to this one and endear themselves to that one. And within no time, they are sitting in a meeting with a very contentious person who are raising very contentious issues that in the end undermine our leadership. I agree with you entirely, and I agree with you saying that we can't say the president of South Africa cannot talk to other people or certain people. But we have the right, I think, to screen who he talks to understand what is coming before it reaches him. You can't go to Daimler Chrysler and talk to Schrempf or whoever is the chairman now without asking the Minister of Trade and Industry to brief you about the issues. And we must protect our leaders from these ambushes. They really get ambushed into this kind of situation.
The other thing, Minister, is that in this committee, on the just after the Caster Semenya debacle, there were two ladies who briefed us this committee who are in Caster Semenya's condition. And then I would love that, because they're saying the condition of Caster Semenya is prevalent, but many people are suppressed, they can't talk about it. But there's nothing wrong in that condition in terms of our constitution of Caster Semenya. Now, there were those two ladies that are here. I still want Pori to go and rekindle and check your archive. Those two beautiful ladies were here the other day with the black suits.
They seem and to
like the beautiful family. Yeah, no, Pori likes it very much. That part. And then that they will explain to you some of the shocking things around that kind of a condition. And I think those are best people that we have to use at the cricket, at the hockey, at the thing, even in football. There are some of our boys who are like that, but they're silent, they're dying in silence. So, and they finally have spoken and all that. Donald Lee loved them very much when they were here. So I would like Pori to give you your office and then speak to them. Let us use them in a very same manner that we wanted to use Caster Semenya and talk about this thing, and then it is not a taboo. It is a condition that is there that can be managed, and then there is no sin out of that condition. And then I've forgotten what their name, but I still
I'm glad you are raising this, because you voted these resources, and I'm sure this committee will support an additional funding request from our side, because we want to hold a conference on this issue. They are professionals, they are professors who have undergone all these things, whether it is a sex change or these other things or the experiences of CASA.
But like you say, they're suppressed. But we want them to expose them to South Africa. You see, South Africa is still very conservative, I can tell you that. Even the constitutional arrangements for people with different sexual orientation, it's still being resisted in a number of places. So we want to contribute to this debate by exposing, let people talk about it, and many others will benefit. Somebody said CASTA will have helped other people elsewhere in the world. During that debacle, we received the letters from all over the world, from Singapore, from India, from England, from Australia, of athletes who had been disqualified by their own associations in their countries, who had been blocked off and castigated by their own communities. Good athletes who could have been something in world records today. So we do want to hold that conference because I think it's very important.
Thank you, man. We will see when the DG has put it in the... Because even today, we're starting to have the workshops around the new budgetary system. And when I leave here, I'm going to that workshop. So we'll see what the DG would be bringing to us.
Yeah.
You see, Minister, the other thing that we want... we are not having a problem in what that judicial committee... its findings and all about. But on the note that you're speaking about and say, let's say Leonard Chweni said, this girl is going to run. And finally breach whatever protocol and this girl runs. If he has said this girl must not run, who could have not been in this breakthrough of Castor's meet? Could have not been in that. It's got it's a double-edged sword. This side, its intention was not right, but its outcome has benefited almost everybody. It's like in a struggle when Solomon Mahlangu goes to the Gilos,
yes.
and seeing Aswabindo Denyama for vote.
I thought you were going to sing the other song.
No, I'll sing the other song. And was very clear in his mind that, and then finally said, tell the people of South Africa that I love them. With my blood, they will have the freedom that we have today.
Yes.
But those are the results today are good, but that intention was not right. Leonard Chweni's intention, I don't by any means saying it was a correct one. But had it agreed, where would it have been now? Still would have been suffering in silence because we could have never had this historical matter that all of us had to venture in and check what is it around Castor's name. And people must accept at times that there are other intended consequences, that its outcome might not be what you wanted, or its implementation must be this, but its outcome must be something different that you have not been expecting. That is one thing that I want us to have in our mind all the time.
That is a good theology.
Okay. I'll be the priest one day. But Minister Tandi raised this matter, and it's a concern to us. We'll raise with SASCOC when they arrive here. You see, Omre Mali called a press conference, and Mackenzie the other day read that article to him. Call a press conference. The investigation has not been concluded. There is a preliminary investigation that they have and all that. Call a press conference and say there is huge irregularities. People are going to go to jail. And then he's saying, but that is not correct. That is not correct. And everybody now wants to see these huge things. And when they have announced the huge things to the public, they said that, no, those things are classified information, a secret. We can't come to you and tell you about that. But they tell people now, are up and say, what could be this maladministration? And then where people are going to go to jail? We are even in the process of giving the hawks Yeah, they even say we're in a process of even giving the Hawks this information. It must be an information that everybody has an interest and raise eyebrows. And when you call them, say that, start with us, give us that information so that we must know. And they said, no, it's classified. It could have been classified if they have not divulged in their press conference that there is this thing that is imminent to go to the Hawks. Now, I wanted to check what is this thing that has to go to the Hawks. And from there, they go underground and say, no, it's a classified information, and therefore, it needs to be handled as such. I do not think there's consistency there. And I don't think there's fairness there. And then people are taking us for the right, and that's where we're taking exception with Suscope. They can't treat us in that way. It's the wrong thing. If they want to have a press conference, give people a preliminary report, fine, okay. But they must not give people some information when you go deeper to that information. No. Don't go deeper. I was just giving you the surface of the whole information. But the extent of giving me the surface suggests to me that it's something deeper than what you're giving me. The other thing...
No, I think you're out of order now. Because you're going against your own ruling at the beginning. That I am not a messenger of ASA or SASCOP.
No, I'm not saying I'm going to tell them.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm saying these are the issues that people are grappling with them. No, I can't do that. Never ask you to go in. Then
and send such a message to SASCOP. Never mean it. And I think this committee can rule me out of order too.
I'm just explaining, as we sit here, what are the issues that we're grappling with? And those are the issues that we're putting forward to people and say, but when you do this, and this is the thing, and then what do you? Because you're asking them a simple thing again, Chair. Subsidy, we're asking to Omre. Omre said that, but you're asking the wrong person. We said, everybody has been suspended who was dealing with the Caster Semenya issue. But this Dr. Adams, he's still a survivor in this matter. And this was a man who was on the central of a medical matter of this matter. By the way, Omre, do you know that even Leonard was not representing his own federation in that international competition? He was there as a member of the IWAF. Yes. Then he said, no. I don't know what happened to Dr. Adams. Dr. Adams was the one, according to our information, who went to Leonard and said, this is what is happening and all that. And then he said, no, this girl is going to run. Where do you get that? He said, no, I'm just whispering to you. But the adjudication and the suspension of even the clerk at the work there, which you don't have a problem, has in a way decided that it must not go to Dr. Adams, because Dr. Adams had nothing to play in the role of Caster Semenya. And our view is that Dr. Adams was the handler, and therefore he had a big role to play and on why he has survived. But we're not saying that. We say those are the issues that we are grappling, and then which we'll ask to the relevant authorities must explain to us what is going on those issues. The last thing, Minister, that before I could let you go, me and you have been speaking to this committee around the cheating. Remember the children that are going to play and all that, and then the home affairs and all that, yes. It happened that I must be at the airport and met with a gentleman from FAD. It's a forensic, and then they are the inventors of that matter here in South Africa. Now, they're able to, through your shape of your gums and everything, detect what age are you and all those other things. But it's a very nice scientific. I don't know. But I think the prevalence of what we are trying to develop on the under 15, under 17 at school and all that, and from there other children are having an unfair advantage on other from that. I have asked this gentleman, stays here in Cape Town. They've got a laboratory here in Cape Town. And then he's assisting even the police. And then when somebody has passed away, they suspect that it belongs to a certain family and all that. Then they do all the other things. And then I said, no. I think this thing, from there, they use every athlete has what they call a something like this gadget. If I gave you this gadget, you say it's mine. It doesn't have my face yet. Yes, it doesn't have my face here. Yes. When he said trip there and then takes that information, it says Bhutana Kontela and then the face.
That's
the
water project.
Oh, it's a water project.
Yes.
So,
yes. It's called Athlete ID.
That's right. They were showing us that and then I said no to him. I think the minister will have an interest on this because the cheating in school sport is prevalent. And then and check what is this thing. And then I'm not having more information as a person who doesn't belong to the WADA and all those things. But I think it was a good thing.
Yes.
From there, Combat Minister, thank you, and then the Deputy Minister Hert. We appreciate the brief that you have to us. It was that kind of a brief that we needed, but unfortunately, something very wrong has happened. That you must be called and speak on the things that other people are supposed to speak about them. But all of us have benefited to what you have briefed us. But the insinuation on them has led to us saying, if they're saying this is has happened and therefore, so let us meet with the minister. But we appreciate wholeheartedly your time, and we know that there's been a huge inconvenience for going to the cabinet committee there. But from all of us, we appreciate the brief that you have given to us. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I left my input on paper because one of the items was the drugs issue. And we are focused on anti-drug campaigns. But of course, cabinet is looking at a broader issue, tech and all these things, how to deal with that. But the Chairperson, you see, when we established the rules of Parliament in 1994, we debated at length the approach to dealing with parliamentary government issues. And so we produced those rules that make it very clear that there should be interaction between the oversight committees and the departments they have oversight over. So we have no problem being asked to give information on this or the other one. We can always do that. We have no problem with a rigorous interrogation on issues. We have no problem with that. We know that Parliament is one of the checks and balances we agreed to in 1993 at Kempton Park. That's why we have a constitutional state. She's talking about it here. We could have a presidential or a parliamentary boss for our Parliament. We did not go that route. We went there for the constitutional state to make sure that these checks and balances make our democracy work. So we're not afraid of that. But the person, we also need to discuss broadly as members of Parliament how to conduct these things in a way that makes sense to everybody. You see, for instance, I was listening to Judge Goldstone on TV yesterday, talking about Negro and all those things. And I think that the old man is raising very important issues. But how come they are not discussed by the parliamentary committee, for instance, or on correctional services and the justice? You know, overcrowding issues, alternative. We must find a format of dealing with this. We must find a format within the sports portfolio of dealing with sports-related issues, like, for instance, the terms of office for office bearers. It's a very important thing to deal with. But we must also deal with the fundamentals of transformation, not just the ageism we have attained here, but also the broader transformation issues. You know, Jefferson, you made a very good input during the budget speech that transformation of sport cannot take place without
cognizance being taken of the deracialization of the economy. You see, because the children of Kanko, Kringolo, and Kamtobo, Kwakwa, are not likely to have these facilities, the science facilities that make them run better. They are not likely to have the dietitiary support groups that make them live better and run better. So we need to look at that. We need to look at the extent to which our parliamentary government processes assist our long-term intentions. I know that we must build the bridges and roads and electrification, water, and all those things. But there's nobody who's going to think about sport other than yourselves here. You know, nobody, absolutely nobody, can go to the IDP of any municipality now and see where the sport facilities are. They don't feature there. So we have to deal with that as part of our parliamentary work and as part of our collective as a sport responsible people. We have to deal, with the issue of school sport. You know, Suka here is the teacher. He should be leading that process to his old comrades in teaching. Because, in my view, there seems to be a depth of understanding as to the importance of sport for the education process, for instance. The role of teachers, but also the role of sport in the improvement of education. You can't just talk about matric results without talking about how to build the intellectual capacity from the preschool level right up to the. There is a need to discuss this, maybe joint discussions with the Portfolio Committee on Education. We must find a way. Kurt and I are frustrated beyond recognition on this issue. Because Free State understands this. It's the only province that understands this. But the others, I don't think they understand what we're talking about. I just come back from this China conference. You know, the kids, 5-year-olds, who were performing in that opening function will outshine any senior in South Africa because that physical education, remember the signature in 2005?
Yeah.
That cooperation on physical education is serious there. It is non-existent in our country. And transformation, get that good. It's not the pie in the sky. It's not manna from heaven. It comes from those initiatives at the lower level. I agree with you. Administratively, yes, it must come from the top, like the police. They are very regimented. But in terms of performance, believe me, unless those kids at preschool already, I like what they are doing in Potchefstroom, the Kinder Kinetics group. The school kids who are going through the rudiments of physical education. But I'm saying these are the things the chairperson. Okay.
I don't know if this is the culture.
No, but that is what I thought the chairperson I should raise. That as we do our work, we must look at these things. We must also look at the federations where we come from. You know, I can't sit in Alice and not know what is happening with Red Lion. I saw them win the knockout tournament, championships on Sunday. It beat everybody there, Red Lion, our club, for the 3rd year running. That is what we must do when we go home. We must know what is going on so as to come back and discuss what is not going on. As far as I'm concerned, Chairperson. Really, Buha, to have had time to raise these things. Whereas the last thing I want to raise is a full day briefing session for the joint committees of the NCOP and us, you know, where we can, for a whole full day, I had a big fight with Mshobo Wenene on this, they want me to talk about sport in 3 minutes. But, that's nonsense. We can't talk about sport in 3 minutes. So I do want, Chairperson, that in our scheduling of our work, we find time for a full day where we can sit and brief MPs on what we are working on, what we are doing, where we are with it, and what we intend going on a whole range of issues. I'm glad we have removed this one off the menu. But the menu is still very long, and I think MPs need a briefing, proper briefing, not the ESA, proper briefing on where we are with what and what we think can be done to do what.
Minister, we thank you very much. I think you'll observe, Minister, even from the DA and the new DAID. We don't have a problem in writing. Yeah, it makes a deal. We don't have a problem in the Minister for Sport. In the Minister of Sport, when you write a letter and then it turns up, we don't have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But other people might be grappling with those kind of problems. That kind of a request of a full sitting of all that, these members would welcome it because we are quite mindful of other ways that you're doing there. But when everything now hits the rock bottom and then we call you, you turn up and therefore everybody's content and happy about that, especially in the portfolio committee, there's no problem. But I think that kind of a request, who will be waiting on your side of your office on the readiness of that, because we can reschedule our own program and then check yours. And then as soon as you say, how about these 2 days,
yeah.
Right, then we'll sit and check those days, and then I'm sure we will be in a position ourselves to change the program and then accommodate that as soon as we have the signal from your side. But thank you very much for everything. Thank you so much. Yes, sir. Come okay. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Yes.
Just one question quickly, Chairperson. Now, I see the minister has a 30-page report. Now, when will we be privy to such a report? Not to that report, but such a report, Chairperson.
No. You see, we will get to that report. As soon as the SASCOC are saying, all other matters have been concluded, therefore the report can now, because they're saying other people that are involved in that have not been informed and all that. I think it's fine. But as soon as that has happened, we will be able to ask for that report, because all role players shall have been informed of what is happening and those who are affected, and then it's okay. But for now, that is a simple thing that they could have done to us and say, there are many role players that are affected today, and therefore let us be mindful of this and this and this, and not do what they are doing. So at that time, when this whole thing has been cleared, then we'll get that document so that at least we know exactly what is going on there. Thank you. Honourable members, we have to adopt the minutes. Let's quickly adopt. Honourable members, let's adopt the minutes because they have to go. Mr. Pori has given you all the minutes, colleagues. Or do you want it just 2 minutes? But 2 minutes is going to make you not to come back again. Honourable members, we are having the minutes of the 2nd of August.
Yes.
We are having the minutes of the 24th of August.
Yes.
We are having the... No. Follow me. We have the meeting of the 10th of August. We have the meeting of the 20th. The 20th of August.
Yeah.
And then we're having the meeting, the minutes of the 17th of August.
Yeah.
It's 17, 20, 10th August.
The 20th July.
20th July, you're right, you're right. 24th August. 24 August. Check 24, Jonathan.
No, it's
not there. And then the 2nd of August.
Yes.
If majority of you do not have the 24th, we'll skip the 24th, and that will be the only set of minutes that we would not have adopted. Let's go on. The 2nd of August, the 10th of August, the 17th of August, the 24th is not there, and then the 20th of July. We start with July, August. Yeah?
Yes. July?
Yes.
I was present.
The minutes have been given to us for some time. I have read them. And then the minutes of the 20th of July. In my view, I propose that somebody must propose for the secondment of the minutes of the 20th. Mackenzie was there. Second.
Just understand something, Commissioner.
Yes.
Thank you. The minutes, the way how they are now being produced, it's different. It doesn't say what. It just comes to resolution. Is that the new style how we do this now?
It doesn't do what?
It doesn't say like Sunduza says this and this and dot, dot, dot. Is this the new style? And the correct one?
No, they've changed the way the minutes are captured.
No, that's what I'm asking.
Yes. The new training say, you don't say Donald Lee says this, Madhua says this, and you discuss the thrust. If there's a fundamental issue where there's an agreement, say, there was an agreement in the portfolio committee on this matter.
That's what I want to understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just a correction, Chairperson. I think I was present at this meeting when the lobby.
Yes, you are right. You are present.
Yeah.
I've made a note. I was going to tell him that, no, you're present.
Yeah.
Yes, I've made a note.
Thank you.
The minutes of the 2nd of August.
Yeah.
Madhua is proposing, Cora is seconding.
Mm-hmm.
The minutes of the 10th August.
Okay.
Madhua and Lindy, Joe is seconding. The minutes of the 17th have to be corrected. Koromisa is not a member of the DA. He's going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
I have read it on there.
You don't say
wrong,
you cross the
pocket. No, I have the set of minutes that you have given. If you have corrected it, then it's fine. It's fine, because I've seen on this old version that you gave me for proofreading.
Mm.
You have written Holomisa, the member of the DA. So,
yeah.
Thank you. And then who's moving for the adoption? Grace is moving. Mackenzie is seconding. And the honourable members, this set of minutes now have been adopted. Now we have to deal with quickly a little bit of a more procedural matter now on the resolution. I have thought that Paul would quickly call.